You're listening to the Grace Church Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you biblical guidance to life's most important issues. We want to thank you for joining us for this week's message. We pray you find strength and encouragement as we learn from God's truth together. For more information, go to visitgracechurch.com.
Welcome, Grace Church. We are so glad and so thrilled that you're worshiping with us online once again as we continue to navigate the waters that is this global pandemic, the COVID-19 crisis, or as we all know, the coronavirus. I know it's been a crazy time, and there's some of you right now that are just worn out. You're exhausted. Maybe some of you are stressed. Maybe you're worrying. Maybe you're figuring out, when is this all going to end? Some of you maybe are even have seeds of doubt if God even cares or if God is in control. Well, I'm so thankful that we're in the middle of a series called Promises. We're looking at the promises of God. Last week, we looked at how God views us and that we were fearfully and wonderfully made by the Creator. And it excites me to think, hey, in a time when despair or craziness or chaos that surrounds us, that we can just rest in the promises of God. One of the promises I've been resting is, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, to give you peace, not of evil, but that of hope and a future. And my prayer is that we as a church can trust in the promises of God as we continue to navigate the days ahead. So what is the purpose? Why are we looking at the promises of God? It's for us to see that God is at work in our life to help you learn, to help us remember and trust his promises. Are you learning what God has for you? Are you trusting him? And are you resting in the promises of God? And this weekend, we're going to look specifically at how God knows our every need. All of us have needs. I know a lot of us have perceived needs. And we're going to see how God provides for our every need. So I want to pray for us as we jump in and get started. And I believe God wants to do something fresh and new in all of our lives. And I'm going to tell you right now, this message has been extremely convicting for me, hard, kind of kicks you where it hurts, wherever that may be. But my prayer is that we won't tune it out, or we won't just say, you know, I've heard this before. We'll say, God, what do you have for us? And what do you want to do in and through us? So let's pray, and we'll get started. God, we love you. Lord, we want to rest in your promises in a time in society where maybe we're worn out, we're tired, fatigued. A lot of us dealing with anxiety and or stress and worry. But Lord, that we can pause for a moment and say, Lord, we trust in your promises. Your word is true. It's full of grace. It's full of love. It's full of power. It's full of life. So Lord, I pray that we will all as a church, as a city, as a community, trust in your promises together as we seek to display your glory, as we seek to help everyone become an outward focused follower of Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. All right, so we're gonna be in the book of Matthew. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. We're gonna be in one of the most famous sermons of all time, probably the most famous sermon of all time, called the Sermon on the Mount. We're gonna be right in the middle in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Now, we're going to break this off in three different sections. We're going to look at how Jesus calls us not to worry, how he provides for our needs, and then how we're supposed to seek first the things of God. And so, as we look here in the Sermon on the Mount, we know we see the Beatitudes, we see the importance of loving our neighbor, being salt and light. Also, right before this specific text, he says, hey, where our treasure is, there our heart is also. And then we dive into how Jesus calls us not to worry as we look at his provision. So here we go. Let's jump in to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And our first point before we read this is that Jesus calls us not to worry. Here we go, verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now, I've heard this, you know, many times, don't worry. And, you know, yeah, that's easy to say. It's one of those things that we say, hey, it's easier said than done. But what Jesus is doing here in this message to us, he says, do not worry. Well, what does worry mean? A definition of worry is to give away to anxiety or unease, to allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or trouble. So what Jesus is saying is this, therefore, I say to you, do not be anxious. Do not have unease. Do not allow your mind to dwell on the difficulty or the trouble around you. But right now, specifically in this society, it is easy to dwell or worry about what's going on around us. And what Jesus is saying, do not worry about that. See, this text was written, and when Jesus is giving this sermon to the Israelites, all right, they at that time, under the Roman oppression, under the Roman rule, they had to just figure out how to survive. The tax rate was high. Many of them didn't have money at all. They'd have to go fish or work the fields just so they could have food every day. And so he's speaking to them in their physical needs. And what Jesus is saying is, do not worry about that. Now, there's some right now that may have been laid off, or you've been furloughed from your job, or you have other extenuating circumstance or medical bills out the wazoo or whatever it is. But some of you are like, I don't even know how I'm going to provide food for myself or my family. Well, Jesus is saying this, do not worry. But the reality is many of us who will watch this or be a part of our weekend worship do not have physical needs. We're not going to bed like, oh my goodness, what are we going to eat? We're not waking up, how am I going to provide today? Do I have a house? Do I have clothes for my kids? Most of us in our society don't deal with that. We have other needs or what we think are perceived needs. Whether, hey, will my house be nice enough? Is my car new enough? Or have a fear or worried about missing out? Maybe how people perceive us. There's all these worries and stresses that we deal with that kind of begin to occupy our mind and our strength and how we go about life. Oftentimes we worry about what's ahead. I mean, will I get the COVID? Will I get this virus that could kill me or someone I love? And some of us, like, what is this stock market falling? My emergency fund is dwindling, and we begin to dwell on it. It causes us to be anxious, to be scared. We play the future out. Oh my goodness, are my kids gonna be okay? Am I gonna have enough money to send them to college? Am I gonna be able to retire? Am I gonna be able to sustain this lifestyle? There's all these questions we begin to worry and play in our mind, the worst possible case scenario. I mean, I was like, okay, if I get this, will I be put on a ventilator? And then will I die all alone without my family around me? I mean, our minds can go to the worst possible places. And what Jesus wanted them to do, he says, do not worry. Do not worry. He's saying, is life not more than this? Is life not more than our present circumstance? And then he goes on to verse 26, which is our next section on that, how God will provide for your needs. So verse 26 says this. He goes, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into birds, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now let me pause here for a second. What Jesus is saying is, hey, birds, I mean, they fly around, they work, they go gather food, but they're not the one planting the grain. They're not the ones tilling the fields. They're not the one creating the shelter around them. They're not the ones providing the worms. They didn't do that. God did. And he's saying, hey, if I care for them and your heavenly Father feeds them, are you not more valuable than they? And I was thinking about this the other day. I don't know if it's because I'm getting my upper 30s now. I turned 36 here next week. And I'm like, Hey, I like birds. Okay, I got bird feeders out now, and I feed them, and I have this family of blue jays in my backyard and cardinals, and I love watching them fly around and work. And the mama cardinal oftentimes will get seeds out of the bird feeder, and then I'll see it get worms and then feed it to its baby. It's really cool to see. And I'm like, man, God provides for them. Now, does this mean that, hey, they're lazy and don't work? No, birds work really hard. This is Texas, not an excuse to say, hey, I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about anything. I'm just going to sit back and let God take care of it. We should let God take care of it, but doesn't mean we stop working. We can see actually in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul talks about the importance of working hard and that we're called to work hard, but we're not called to worry about it. If God values them, how much more does he value you? Then it goes on to verse 27. Again, he says, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? As Jesus is giving this message, he says, how is worrying going to help? How is living anxiety? Now, I want to take just a moment here. If there are some of you that deal with, you know, clinical depression or deal with anxiety, there are doctors that can help you. There is medication that can be given to you done in the right way. And so I just want to say, just because maybe you're dealing with anxiety sometimes or depression, or you can tend to worry and you deal with this medically, doesn't mean that you don't love Jesus enough. Let me say that. I want to make that very clear. But what Jesus is saying as a whole is, hey, trust me. And if we live a life of worry and worry about what's ahead, it's not going to help us at all. How can it add to us? Realistically, it's going to take away joy and life daily. So why worry about clothing? Again, as Jesus is saying, please do not worry. Go on to verse 28. Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So Jesus, again, is pointing out, hey, have you ever been to a field of wildflowers and seen their beauty? Maybe a field of lilies, or you've been to tulips, or been out by Lawrence and seen the sunflowers, and see these majestic pictures of God's creation. God of the universe, our creator, made that. And what he's saying is that, hey, I created that, and if I value them, I value so much more. And it's interesting to me, then he mentions King Solomon, who was one of the wealthiest kings ever to live. Had more money than we could even imagine. And even Solomon cannot compare in the money that he stored up and the things that he had could compare to who God is. He's saying, hey, if I value these, I value you. And so maybe right now, you're like, am I even worth anything? I'm all alone right now in this season. I don't feel valued at all. I want you to know that God values you. As we saw last week, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He created you. I mean, we're seeing here Jesus say, hey, if you've been created, if I created these lilies, if I create these wildflowers and they're beautiful, I created you in my image. You man, you woman, your boy, you girl, I created you. And as much and as beautiful as they are, I didn't create them in my own image. I created you. So you need not to stress, you need not to worry, because I love you more than any of that. So much I sent my son for you. Verse 30. Now, as I said, if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and then tomorrow is thrown into the oven to make bread, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, I find that interesting because it's kind of like a jab. Hey, if you're stressed or worried about this, man, you guys, I think the disciples at this time, they were like one foot, one out. All these people are listening to this message. They maybe weren't sure of this Jesus guy. And the reality is right now, many of us probably have one foot out. We're saying, I don't know about this Jesus thing. And Jesus says, ye of little faith, I love you. I care about you. I died for you. I value you. God provides for your needs. And I was thinking, what are the needs? What are our needs? Lindsay and I, my wife, were talking about this earlier today and, you know, thinking, hey, at the end of the day, what this text is saying, we need food, we need clothing, and we need water, something to drink. Those needs is what the Lord is saying, hey, I'll provide these for you. Not, hey, I'm going to make your life easy. That's not a need. Hey, I'm going to give you the most beautiful, hip, in-style car you can imagine, the newest Tesla. Hey, are those cool? If you drive one, awesome. I'm jealous. But are that a need? No. Our needs, a bigger house or a signing bonus that gives us enough money to travel through Europe? No. And so it's important to understand, guys, we need to be uncomfortable and wrestle this. Hey, if you have five kids or six kids and you only have a two-bedroom house, is that enough? Based on this, yes. What are those needs? And I was thinking, you know, oftentimes, though, our needs become more selfish desires than wants. And when we get into that, we get kind of sidetracked. We have blinders on to really what God wants to do in and through our lives. It's kind of like when we have children. Like, I know what my children's needs are. I know that they need to be fed. I know that they need clothes. I know that they need to drink water. I know what's best for them to take care of them, their basic needs. Now, do they eat and say when they're hungry? Yes. But they don't know how it got there. They don't know how it was bought. But they know that I'm providing their needs, and God loves us that much more. So not only does Jesus call us not to worry, he also provides for our needs. And this is where it gets really challenging for all of us. Seek first the things of God. So he's given this list, hey, do not worry, I'll provide for you. Do not worry again, I'll provide for you. I'll take care of you. And then in verse 31, he says, therefore, again, do not worry. What shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. Other translations say this, for all these things, we begin to worry. This is what the pagans seek, those who do not follow Jesus. So what we see here is this compare and contrast, those believers and non-believers. Non-believers worry about the things of this world, our material possessions. How can our desires and our wants that we're fighting after that, more is better, more power, more influence, more money, more stuff, that is more important. He's saying, but that is what Gentiles seek. That are what pagans seek. But if you're a believer, you'll rest and trust in the promises of God. He goes, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. In verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What he's saying is, above all else, seek first the kingdom of God. That is the most important thing. What I believe Jesus is saying here, we need to live in complete surrender and put his plan, his will before any and everything else. And when we position our heart in a place of surrender, say, God, I'm here for you, for your kingdom. Life comes from you. What we really need is you working in and through us. Then God takes care of our needs. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus is hitting home again. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. Be faithful today. That's what he calls us to do. But the reality is that is difficult sometimes. The truth is when we get up, sometimes you're like, okay, how can my wants and desires, we become selfish, we become fixated on the things that are really out of our control, and we begin to serve our own kingdom. So I was thinking, okay, what does this look like? Well, I can tell you in the life of Chris, I begin to serve my kingdom. So the things that I want, whether, hey, I want this certain car, I want this certain house, or I want to live in this part of the city, or I want this for dinner, or I want to have this influence, or I want to be able to see by here, I want to be encouraged there. I want someone to notice me, and it becomes about me. And then when I focus on my kingdom, I have to use my strength because it becomes like myopic. It's all about me and what I can do. And the reality is when I go to my kingdom, I have to use my strength and then it's my problems, meaning I have stress and anxiety. It's this whole concept of role reversal. I try to worry and control the things that God says he'll worry about. And then I forget and neglect the things that God has called me to do. And so then I live in this place of stress and anxiety and frustration and depression because it comes about me. But what God is saying here, if we want to trust his promises, we need to realize that we need to seek his kingdom first. When we seek his kingdom, he gives us his strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. The moment we give our life to Christ, we begin to seek the things of God, his kingdom, his strength empowers us. He gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us words to say, eyes to see, a heart to care for those who need love, and then it's his promises. It's his problems. He worries about it. He takes care of it. He encourages it. He bears the weight for us. He goes to battle. He dies. He raises again. It becomes about him and his problems, most importantly, his promises. So we have a decision we have to make. As we continue to navigate through the storms of life, who knows when we'll go back to quote-unquote normal? As our bank accounts, some of them could be shrinking. The workload for others could be increasing. The stresses and what's ahead can be building up. And the worry overwhelms us. I want us to remember that we can choose worry, or we can bow down and worship of the one who loves us. We can choose anxiety, or we can stand in adoration of who our King is. We can live in fear of what's ahead, or we can have faith in who God is. Or we can be powerless or worry about our plans or trust in his promises. He loves us. He values us. He views you as fearfully and wonderfully made, and he provides for us when we seek first the kingdom of God. Now I want to read from the message here. I think Eugene Peterson just has a way of words sometimes, and I think this is a powerful statement. I want to end with how he approaches this text. But I just want to encourage you, man, I deal with anxiety and worry often. And when those times come, I just have to bow before God and say, God, I have to trust your promises here. I don't see the finish line. I don't know what's ahead, but I trust you fully. And so what I want to do is I want to read this to us as an encouragement as a way to push us and maybe even to convict us to trust in his promises, in his provision. He says, if you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtime or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you count far more to him than birds. Has anyone by fussing in front of the mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much of a difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out to the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop. But have you ever seen a color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside of them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, not to be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, and in God's provision. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. He loves you. He provides for you. And we can rest and trust in his promises. God, we trust in you. We believe in you. And we rest in your promises. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you have questions or would like to contact us for prayer, please email us at info@visitgracechurch.com. For more information about our ministries, location, and service times, go to visitgracechurch.com.